Episode 275.
You know the issues, you need to understand the solutions, but the opposite is true. I see it in every shop I go to. Most shop owners don't really know what's coming their way, and there is a tidal wave of technology that's about to hit that is going to put a large number of shops out of business, or they're going to be swallowed up in consolidation. And there's so many great people in this industry that work so hard to serve their communities, and I don't want to see them fail. So my advice is open your eyes, get involved in training. I don't care whose it is. Listen, and then come back to the shop, put your shop together, figure out what you learned, and then go implement it. Don't go to training unless you're willing to change your business model and the way you work.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, automotive aftermarket professionals, to episode 275 of Remarkable Results Radio. Now, in this episode, meet Chris Chesney, the Senior Director of Customer Training at Carquest Technical Institute. Throughout Chris's career, you've no doubt participated in an event that he's been involved with. You may have even attended a regional or national training event, heard a keynote, been affected by his industry leadership through Carquest, NASTAF, ASE, ATMC, and others. We sat down at Apex 2017 and found out how it all started and how Chris views remedies or solutions to our current and future challenges. Carm Capriato here, helping aftermarket professionals achieve their own remarkable results through learning from the stories you find here in the Aftermarket's premier podcast. This episode is presented by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, they are the reason you enjoy these enlightening aftermarket interviews each week. Well, when you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more, they're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com, and thanks for your support of these brands. You know, as the podcast audience and followers grows each week with new listeners, so do my social connections. So glad to welcome new Facebook friends Randall Brewster, Kevin McLean, and Tracy Klein, and new LinkedIn connections Jim Morcillo, Michelle Cooper, and Ross McPherson. Hey, it's easy to connect with the podcast. Just go to remarkableresults.biz/social, and you'll find every link to get involved, including the free Aftermarket Insider newsletter. Hey, every podcast episode has their own show notes page, and for this episode with Chris Chesney, go to remarkableresults.biz/E275. Now, there you'll find additional bio information and the episode talking points. Hey, just a quick tip for all podcast app users. Yes, we have our own app. And if your version is older than July 2017, go to your app store and update. A new user experience awaits you. Hey, it's a very powerful app that brings every interview, including the Academy podcasts, to your fingertips. Go to your app store, search for Remarkable Results Radio. Now meet Chris Chesney. I'm happy we found a slice of time to sit down and record this episode at Apex 2017. I've admired Chris for years and wanted you to hear his story in his own words. From the day he was hooked on the automotive, his Indy 500 experience as a teenager, his time with Snap-on, and subsequently, his passion for training. Chris is the Senior Director Customer Training at Carquest Technical Institute, and you'll hear from Chris how it all got started and about his passion for uncovering the truth. He says in some classrooms today, we do myth-busting to explain the truth and how things really work to help technicians with diagnostics strategies and success. Chris brings his insights on the technician shortage. We need to work on a solution, he says. We talk ATIS and the tech and specs needed to repair and calibrate, and what all successful technicians and shop owners know, that you must be committed to be a lifelong learner. If not, you're in the wrong profession. Chris gets up each day with the same passion he did all those years ago in Kansas. As he says, this great aftermarket has its challenges, and it's going to take many people, teams, and organizations to formulate solutions as we prepare for the largest wave of technology and consolidation we've ever seen. Now, listen to learn just one thing. Here's Chris Chesney. I'm at the Apex 2017 studio on level 2 here in Las Vegas with Chris Chesney. Oh boy, Chris, thank you so much for coming on. The Senior Director Customer Training at Advanced Auto Parts. I've been chasing you for a while.
Yep.
I found you at a weak moment.
You did.
Thank you.
I answered the phone. Caller ID doesn't work every time.
So when did you get the bug? You were, you know, you're an automotive legacy guy. You love the automotive. How did it all start?
As a young kid, my mom passed when I was 5, and so I was helping my dad on the farm all the time. I was on a tractor when I was 6 years old, and I can still remember it as if it was yesterday. When I was about 7 years old, I'm in Natoma, Kansas, little podunk town, probably 100 people in town, even back then. And I was in a Ben Franklin store. I don't know if that really ages me. Anybody remember the Woolworths or Ben Franklin stores? So I'm in a Ben Franklin store, and I see a magazine rack, and I see a Road and Track magazine with Phil Hill in a Ferrari Formula One car on the cover, and I went, ooh, that's cool.
This is very vivid.
I can see it in my mind's eye today, yet today. I have a copy of that magazine at home. I found a copy on eBay and bought it recently because I remember that was the defining moment in my life, because I had no other thoughts to do anything else other than be a part of the automotive industry from that point forward. Now, I wanted to be an engineer, went to college to be an engineer. I have all the courses to be an engineer, but then we took a field trip to SAE Congress in Detroit, and back in those days, in the early 70s, it was in February in Detroit. And I had the design to be an engineer for one of the big three and work in Detroit designing cars. Well, you go to Detroit in February, and that's not really a Chamber of Commerce type of weather situation. And I got there, and I thought, why would I ever want to live here? And so I changed my path and decided I really like to work on vehicles.
Yeah.
And so that, yeah, and here we are today.
How'd you go from Kansas to, you actually worked a lot of years in Denver.
Yeah, when I was in Kansas, I worked at a Datsun dealership and a Toyota dealership back there. And we'd go out to see my in-laws in Denver and go skiing. And I decided, why are we traveling every weekend to go skiing? We could just live in Denver and we could ski all the time.
Sure.
So we moved to Denver. I never skied again for about 15 years.
Because you have held almost every position in the industry, so you must have really worked your butt off.
Well, I have a passion for the way things work, but I worked as a tech for many, many years. I was a master tech for Toyota and Datsun at the same time, but I also had a desire to build my own business, so I became a Snap-on dealer.
Okay.
And I was a Rookie of the Year in the Denver market back in the early 80s, and then I decided that, you know, I'll go into management with Snap-on. Well, that was a poor move because the dealer's king. The management team works for the dealer, and the money's at the dealership level. So I ended up going to work for Sun Electric and selling scopes and $30,000 capital equipment diagnostic machines.
Back then,
well,
huh?
Yeah, and you don't walk into a shop and say, hey, Carm, you want to buy a $30,000 scope? I was there at the time when it was the first computerized PC platform scopes, and I understood how to use a scope. And digital storage scopes were somewhat new to the market, but I had experience with them. So I decided I'd train technicians and shop owners the value of having that piece of equipment from a diagnostic perspective, and then they'd understand why they needed that scope.
Got
so
it.
At the end of class, they'd come up and they'd say, okay, I'm ready.
So let me get this straight. You're a Sun salesperson,
yeah,
but you figured out you had to create the need for it.
Yeah.
And so you literally, was that the legacy start of you being a trainer?
That was where I started training, was out of necessity to sell capital equipment to feed my family. And the money was good. Back then, you made a good percentage. It was 20% commission for a scope sale. Really.
Ooh.
And so you could make really good money back in those days.
Back then, you only had to sell 4 a year.
Yeah, I'd only sell a few. And I'd sell one a month or two a month.
Well,
and
that's great
money.
And
then I'd go back and train and support that and activate it. But those were the good old days when we were all just learning the truth.
Oh, I love that quote.
Yeah. At that point in time, we thought we knew how an oxygen sensor worked. We thought we knew why it switched rich lean. And there are all these ideas that it's doing it because of this or that. And I'm sitting back and I'm going, wait a minute, my engineering background knows the truth. The truth is it's doing that because the engineer designed it to do that, because the catalyst needs that to happen. So the feed gas into the front of the catalyst makes the catalyst work. And so I saw an opportunity to train rather than sell. And that's when I formed my own training company in Colorado in the mid-90s.
DTEC was the name of your company, DTEC. Yeah. Did it, was it an acronym for anything?
No, just, it was
Denver,
like anything
Denver
else.
Tech?
No, it was an acronym like anything else in this industry. Yeah. Come up with a cool acronym, and then we'll put words behind it.
Oh, okay.
To make it mean something.
Oh, that's right.
So DTEC was what I started with, and then it ended up being Diagnostic Technician Education Consultants.
Whoa.
So I was one of those guys that if you can't do, you teach. If you can't teach, you consult, right?
Wait a minute. You could work for the government.
Oh, man.
Create the words behind acronyms.
I think I do every day.
I bet you do. We all
do. You
do,
too.
I do, too. I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. So you have this van, and it's the Guru on the Go van, and it's all nicely decked out, and you drop by for lunches and learns. How do shops get a chance to get that van to come to their place?
Well, they can, of course, call into our Guru hotline and request it. They can talk to their parts distributor, you know, and through that channel, we can go out and do some training, or even with us out in the field. You know, if they see us, we do various warehouse distributor type shows, many different events. We're out there everywhere. Just come by and ask, and we'll be more than happy to come by.
Hey, Mike, if I said you were a champion for Federal Mogul Motor Parts, would I be right?
You betcha.
So give me an example.
I live, eat, breathe Federal Mogul on a daily basis. You know, growing up, I being in the racing industry, I knew a lot about Moog. I loved Moog. Felpro, same thing. To go out and be able to talk about a company this big, this strong, it makes me happy every single day. I'm so excited to do it on a day in and day out basis.
What are technicians saying after you're done with your presentation?
When can you come back? They want more day in and day out.
They want more, and you have more to give. You've got so many key product lines in the industry.
Oh, we have a ton of product lines and a ton of training that's available, you know, with those product lines and on a technical side too.
How dazzled are the techs to see that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot?
They come unglued. They are so excited about that because less frustrations. You know, they've been dealing with issues in the field of damaging that boot during installation, and it makes it so much easier to put in. And it's a beautiful piece.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the Gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. So you still get up every morning today with the same passion you had all them years ago.
I struggle. I'm at that age where I'm thinking about, at least thinking about the word retirement. But I have projects that are in front of me, things that I can't even talk about yet, I probably have 8 years left of passion work that I'm doing.
And then what will happen is you'll be so excited about those next 8 years.
The next 8 years, my wife will be beating me because I'm still getting up every morning passionate about the industry let's go do something together.
You know, that work-life balance has to really flip at a certain time, doesn't it?
I have 7 grandchildren that keep that in check.
7?
Yep.
Great.
Yep, that's my passion.
I'm going to be a grandpa for the first time.
Your life will change in ways you have no idea.
How cool.
It is so cool.
So tell me the story of DTEC and the integration with CarQuest and then and your move to Raleigh.
Yeah, so DTEC started as a result of me being part of the startup of Snap-on Technical Training Systems back in the early 90s. I was with Snap-on, then I went to work for Sun Electric, and then I came back to work for Snap-on because Snap-on bought Sun Electric. And I was a part of a pilot program for training technicians, and it was sold off the trucks by the Snap-on dealers. And we put a program together, but we didn't follow the pilot and the things we learned in the pilot. They gave me responsibility for the Denver and Salt Lake City markets. And if you look on the map, that relates to about 25% of the landmass of the United States. And I'm looking at it going, that's only that far on a map. But I wanted to start and establish training in Denver first, and then I'd go over to Salt Lake and we'd establish it there.
Sure.
And they said, no, you need to spend half your time in each location. So I decided to go out on my own. I knew that wouldn't work, and started DTEC, and I landed the contract with the state and EnviroTest at the time to roll out the technician training program and the train-a-trainer program for the IM240 program in Denver back in 1994.
Okay.
And so I trained 55 instructors for vocational schools, and then I kind of handpicked five or six of them, and they went to work for me with DTEC, and we trained about 1,000 technicians in 120 hours worth of content inside of 18 months. And those were the good days. Those were the hard days. We were working 18-hour days. We were teaching every night of the week. We're teaching day classes during the weekend.
Wait a minute. You just said those were the good days. Ah.
And the reason is we were uncovering truth. See, I see today and remember in the past a couple of times that this industry is really... The people in the industry have really been afraid. The first time I saw it was with one of my mentors, Harley Veers, owned a Bear Alignment Garage in Stockton, Kansas, where I went to high school. Harley was a dear friend of the family, a friend of my father, and he had it was just a one-bay Bear Alignment rack and the old mirror aligned visual aligners that you had back in those days with the magnetic camber gauges that you attach to the hub, and he kind of took me under his wing, and he ran the Bear Alignment Garage at the Indianapolis 500 for 29 years. He would shut down the month of May, and he'd go to Indy, and he would manage that team in Gasoline Alley, and they'd actually align the race cars. The teams didn't do it back then because they didn't have the technology to do it, balance the wheels, and I'd go with him the Indy and work in Gasoline Alley as a kid.
Whoa, there is a piece of information about you we don't know.
I was the kid that when he got old enough to drive to Indy, I drove my 71 Boss 351 to Indianapolis. I stayed in Speedway with him and all half the other drivers in the field. And since I was 16, they would give me a $10 bill in the middle of the day and say, go get sliders and nails. And for those who are listening that know what sliders and nails are, you've been to White Castle before.
Right.
You know how greasy the bottom of the bag gets with $10
worth of sliders.
You have
to put your hand underneath it.
Exactly. So that was me. I'd go get sliders and nails and make the crew happy. And they'd let me hang out. But Harley took me in 1972 to the first ASC test that was held. It was held in Great Bend, Kansas, and we were in Stockton, which is, it's like a two and a half hour drive, and he asked me to come along. I was a junior in high school at the time. I can remember the fear that he expressed in, not that he didn't know what he was doing, because I asked him, why are we going to this certification thing? What are we doing? He says, well, we're trying to keep the government out of our business. And that was a fear in the industry at that point in time. That's why NAISE, or ASC as we know it today, was formed. It's to get our act together as an industry to keep government out of our business. Well, I saw that same fear in the mid-90s when I started DTEC, because we had transient emissions programs like IM240. And then we had OBD hit, in 1996, but it was really being implemented in 94, 95. And techs were scared at that point in time. How am I going to diagnose those failures without a dyno? How am I going to fix that little light on the dash that can mean 100 different things? And so I remember that fear, and I was able to capitalize by building a business around eliminating that fear. And I see that same fear today.
Are we uncovering the truth today?
More so than ever. The level of expertise at the training level in this industry in the aftermarket has exposure to the truth through data that we get online and through our relationships with the OEMs and the works that groups like NASTEF have done to drive that information to the surface so that we can see the truth. But I also see the threat of that going away somewhat over the near term. Let me explain what I mean by that. A lot of technicians really don't understand how an O2 sensor works. And so we do what we call myth busting a lot of times in our classrooms to break down why their current understanding is incorrect and why the real truth is so important, so that they can understand the fuel control strategies that the OEMs are using today are so critical to their diagnostic strategy and their diagnostic success. So understanding the truth of that operation is hypercritical. Well, we can teach that now. We have that information available to us from the OEMs, from the engineers. But today, the vehicles that we're seeing on the showroom floor are so complex. They're so complex, and they're coming to market so fast that the OEMs that assemble the vehicle don't have control over the systems that are on the vehicle.
Is it because it's so layered?
Well, it's so layered. So give you an example. You might have a large organization, an engineering group that builds an ADAS, Advanced Driver Assistance System, that's integrated with one of their vehicles, and they give them a set of instructions of how to implement that. So the OEM maybe shortcuts that and doesn't implement that technology the way the Tier 1 supplier.
Wait a minute. I can't even imagine that happening.
It happens all the time. And so imagine if that happens and the Tier 1 supplier says, you didn't implement it right, we're not going to support it. And now they split that relationship that breaks apart because they're at odds against each other.
Where's the truth?
So the truth lies with the guy that invented the technology and gave the set of instructions to the manufacturer, but the manufacturer's now left with a platform that he doesn't know how it operates or works. So his engineers have to sit back and go, whoa, now what do we do? And so that's the threat I see in the near term, that these vehicles are so complex that the information that we have available to us might not be coming from the right places and might not be complete.
If that wasn't just an important 3 minutes to tell the world,
makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
The gravitational pull of training and the need to be networking, to be in classes, to learn and understand this, because it's almost like you're telling me you'll never learn 100% because there's a filter.
You need to become a lifelong learner. One of my friends, George Minshew, who you've got pictured up here, George is a good friend. I've worked with George when he first started his company many, many years ago. When I started D-Tech, it's about the same time George started AES Wave. And he, better than anybody in the industry, communicates the value of becoming a lifelong learner. And that's the thing that we've got to do with our youth and our existing technicians in the field, is to teach them how to research and learn.
How do we get that message through to every tech in our industry?
Well, that's the difficult part. I sit at events like this, and I have breakfast with suppliers and customers and dinners, and then I walk out here and I think, my gosh, our industry's so big that there's no chance of us consolidating all this and flipping the switch and making that statement stick with everyone. However, the focus that I have today is that we've brought industry together to some extent since we did the NASTEF spring meeting and vision a couple of years ago, where I challenged industry to come together and sit down and talk. Take your brand off your shirt, leave your name badge at the core. We can't bring everybody together and just talk. We've done that for 18 months, 2 years. We've talked. We know what the problem is with respect to technician shortage, the aging population of technicians, the need to remodel vocational education, to support them in any way we can. What happens, though, is you bring industry together, now let's do something. That's where we lose traction.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to do everything. They want to be the ones that solve the whole problem, and that can't be done. There's not one group that can solve everything, but all of us together can solve one thing apiece. And so what my vision is today and where we're leading our organization is not to solve the problem, but to model the solutions. And so we've got some projects that are coming in the next few years that will actually model solutions, not the solution, sample solutions, projects that illuminate to the industry what the possibilities are and test ideas and concepts in a way that provide the industry with vision of what those solutions should look like. Some of them are disruptive. Some of them are, they're all very innovative. But we'll model it and let industry follow it. But unless somebody sticks their neck out and sticks a stake in the ground and does something, you and I are going to be sitting at this table 5 years from now having the same conversation.
Who's going to model it? I mean, can you give me some names?
I will tell you that CTI and WTI will be models of this. Carquest Technical Institute and WorldPack Training Institute are brothers.
Highly respected in our industry.
And we together have probably the most comprehensive, best-in-class training program in the industry. We have brand recognition. We have tens of thousands of customers and students and shop members. And we've got great ideas and great resources at our hand to be able to go out and model some of these things.
ATMC, you're involved. You're involved in NASDAQ.
I'm on the NASDAQ board. We just had a board meeting yesterday and hired a new executive officer. You'll hear that announced at the general session this afternoon. I don't think it'll be any surprise who it is. And then I'm board chair of Automotive Training Managers Council, which is really not Automotive Training Managers Council now. It's the ASE Training Managers Council.
Is that what it is?
Because
yeah.
We're rebranding.
I interviewed David just a little bit ago. Yeah. It was a great interview.
We'll have that reception tonight. We have our board meeting this afternoon and reception tonight, and then we'll give out our ATMC training awards tonight. So I'm particularly involved in that because we have obviously a training shortage. We have, as you talked to Dave about, we have an aging workforce that's, you know, falling out of the shops. But my concern is who's going to train the new people that we bring in. We've got a lot of great ideas about bringing people into the industry, but somebody has to support them and train them.
Where are we going to get those instructors?
We've got to grow them,
yeah.
Just like we have to grow technicians. The days of pillaging the neighbor for your tech and pillaging your competition for instructors is over. So I'll use CTI as an example. We just, in the last 6 weeks, held two instructor boot camps. You can't teach for CTI unless you can, number one, get recruited by CTI as either an existing instructor or technician that really we see some promise in, and then you have to team teach with an instructor and then be invited to a boot camp, which is a three-day immersion into, not technology, but it's immersion into how to manage a classroom and prepare to teach and how to communicate effectively. And you're video recorded and you're stressed, and we'll keep you up till 11:30 at night and then hand you a project that you've got to present at 8 o'clock the next morning. It's boot camp.
Wait a minute. Is this like Navy SEALs CTI?
Some guys think that. And so we've got some exciting new instructors that we're bringing on board, but we're growing our own because the guys that we could steal all look like me, and I need to retire one of these days, and so we need to bring some youth back into this.
Wow. Thing. I don't think we have touched the surface of what Chris Chesney could bring to the podcast listeners. Would you come back in another episode?
If you can catch up with me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's my challenge. Yeah. To grab Chris. How about at Vision?
We'll do something at Vision, but you better book me early because Vision swallows me harder than this place does.
Right. I understand. So, well, I promise, because I really want to hear more. I think you've got the right insights. Final word. You're speaking to a shop owner and a technician. From your perspective, what should they hear from you?
Well, the thing that I would share with them, is, especially as shop owners, there is help out there. You're not alone. Stick your neck out of the door once in a while. Get involved in industry, not just through events like Vision or Apex or things of that nature, but get involved in NASTEF. Get involved in ASA or AASP. Get involved in associations and go fellowship with your fellow shop owners and open your eyes to not just the solutions, but you need to understand the issues. And a lot of times I say, you know the issues, you need to understand the solutions, but the opposite is true. I see it in every shop I go to. Most shop owners don't really know what's coming their way. and there is a tidal wave of technology that's about to hit that is going to put a large number of shops out of business, or they're going to be swallowed up in consolidation. And there's so many great people in this industry that work so hard to serve their communities, and I don't want to see them fail. So my advice is open your eyes, get involved in training. I don't care whose it is. I'd love you to come to my house. Love you to come to WTI. But if you're going to the competitors' training, open your eyes, listen, and then come back to the shop, put your shop together, figure out what you learned, and then go implement it. Don't go to training unless you're willing to change your business model and the way you work.
But you're also talking technical training and business management.
Anything that deals with your business. You've got to understand how to run a business. You've got to understand how to deal with customers, internal and external. And you've got to understand how to fix the car, obviously.
Chris Chesney, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Carm.
Hey, thank you, Chris Chesney, for your great insights into our beloved aftermarket. I want this interview to motivate you to join an association, get involved with NASDAQ, update your ASE certifications, get to a regional training event. Now, there's an events page on my website under resources where you'll be able to find all regional and national training events. The talking points and additional bio information on Chris Chesney is on the show notes page for this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E275. Thanks for listening to the Aftermarket's premier podcast. I so appreciate when you share the episode URL, the Aftermarket Insider email, or any one of my social links to help benefit all aftermarket professionals. You know, the more we know about achieving success, the better it is for the entire industry. Now, the way to improve our industry's image starts with every individual shop owner striving to be the most professional he or she can be. Glad you're here. Talk soon. Listen hard.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.